Morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all. My name's Nigel. I'm one of the associate vicars here at St. Mary's, and it's my honour to spend a few moments reflecting on that Bible passage we've just heard. All through this week, as in previous weeks and in coming weeks, we're holding an Alpha course through the week. There's a lot of us doing it. We're meeting in lots of different small groups. And this week, our theme has been uncovering the Bible. Why should I read the Bible and how should I read the Bible? So this morning, I'd just like to reflect on that a little bit more. But before I begin, I think it's important that I pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you do not leave us alone. We thank you that you are not mysterious and distant. We thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself in so many ways through creation, through your Son, and also through your living word, the Bible. As we reflect now, may that same Spirit who you sent on your Son, that same Spirit who you sent on your living word that comes alive as we read it, may that Spirit now come alive in us to help us hear and understand and respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. There's a Welshman from the land of my fathers, or half my fathers, I'm only half Welsh, called R.J. Thomas. He was a missionary to China, but he had an especial burden to go to the land of Korea because in those days, apart from Catholic missionaries who'd been there centuries before, there were now no signs of life in that nation. So in the year of 1861, R.J. Thomas traveled, he got a place as an interpreter on an American trade ship, the U.S. Sherman. And they sailed up the river towards the city of Pyongyang. And they were met with a very, very hostile reception. Westerners were not welcome. And their ship was set on fire and people had to abandon the ship and swim to the shore. And as R.J. Thomas swam to the shore, he held as many Bibles as he had translated into Chinese, saying, "Jesus, Jesus." And right there on that spot, he was hacked to death by an angry mob. Now, one person in that angry mob was a government official. And he was moved by the way that R.J. Thomas died. And he picked up one of those Bibles and he took it home. And he wallpapered his front room with the pages of that Bible, page by page, stuck it all up there around the room of his house. And in time, he started to read his wallpaper. And he got interested and he invited his friends round and they began to read the wallpaper. And bit by bit, gradually, they came to faith, although it was pasted in different orders all over the place in Chinese. And that place became the first new church in the country of Korea. And to this very day, the people of Korea who are Christians, celebrate R.J. Thomas for bringing that word. Now, arguably, he's the biggest failure of a missionary. He never got to meet anyone. He lasted a few minutes. But actually, the impact of what he did was that in the country of Korea now, there are 12 million church-going Christians, 40% of that nation. The Word of God is alive and active. More than this, the fact that we have the Bible in our own language has come at a huge human cost. The first people to translate the Bible into English, first of all John Wycliffe, and 150 years later William Tyndale, were tried and convicted of heresy for translating the living word into English. Tyndale was burned at the stake for it, yet within a few years of his death, it was decreed by King Henry VIII that every church in the country should have a copy of the English Bible in their church for people to read. And people continue to die for the Bible today. Just 4 years ago, in 2016, four Bible translators, they're members of one of our mission partners, Wycliffe Bible Translators, four people were murdered in their workplace while translating the Bible in the Middle East. Translating the Bible is still a dangerous business. Today, many Christians have no access to a Bible that they can read in their own language, still. Many more Christians read their Bibles in secret on pain of imprisonment or even death if they're caught. The Word of God is alive and active, and it has come to us at a great cost, and it still costs lives today. Why read the Bible? Well, in a way, it's tragic that I need to kind of sell the idea, because there was once a time when men and women in the UK couldn't wait for the opportunity to visit their local church and read that English copy that had been placed there. They wanted to read it for themselves. But here's a few things we learn when we read the Bible. First of all, God's self-revelation. Those of us who were doing the Alpha course, we heard Nikki Gumbel say this. People, skeptics, say, why doesn't God reveal himself to us today? And of course, the answer is that among several ways God reveals himself is through Scripture. He has revealed himself, if we could only engage with it. The Bible also provides us and our community with boundaries for healthy living. It enhances our relationship with God by offering us comfort, encouragement, inspiration. At times, the Bible can speak hard truths into the way we are living. And through Scripture, God may convict us of things that we need to change. Change in ourselves or change in the world around us. Action we need to take, situations and people we might need to pray for. As we heard that Bible reading, it went on. The Word of God is alive and active. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the human heart. And yet, in so many of our homes, the Bible sits from day to day, week to week, barely being used. And if this is the active, living Word of God, why does it spend so much time unnoticed and unopened, even in our own Christian homes? Our Heavenly Father wants to speak into our lives in all these different ways, but how can he when the book remains closed from day to day, even week to week? And why is it we feel under-equipped and unsure of how we're meant to read it? Well, I confess one reason is that your own church leaders, myself included, have let you down. I think there is a trend in contemporary culture, in Christian culture, that we need to be careful of, that emphasizes experience and relationship at the expense of substance and our own individual accountability. Church leaders like me have allowed this. We fail to equip you with the basic tools and the framework for studying the Word of God for yourselves. And church leaders like me can help you with that. We can ensure the Bible remains at the center of all our Sunday teaching and all our home groups and the different places and times that we meet. And as leaders, we can also guide you to the wealth of resources and apps, Bible notes, and what is out there. There's never been more choice in our society for learning and reading the Bible. Yes, we can do all that for you. But as one of your leaders, I can't make you sit down. I can't make you carve out the routine to explore the Bible for yourself. I can't make you try again and again until you have the right routine with the right resources. At some point, you have to commit to taking this on for yourself. Think about it. If you commit to learning a language, you need the discipline of making space and time to sit and learn. If you commit to getting fit and doing exercise, you've got to get up and do it. If you decide to learn a new hobby, you work at it. And it's exactly the same with the Bible. The only one who can get you to do that is you, with the power of God helping you. And if we as God's people are going to make a cultural difference in this generation, we've got to be people of the Word, people who delight in God's Word. And I suggest this morning we can do it in two ways. First of all, we start with ourselves, spending time understanding what God is saying through this powerful book. Richard, our vicar, told me a lovely story this week about being on holiday with his extended family just a couple of years back. And as he was getting up one morning, and in this, you know, they're staying in a rented house somewhere, he stumbled into his dad, around 80 years of age, in a little corner, hidden away, sneaking his daily Bible study in a quiet corner of the house. Yes, even on holiday. Learning to read the Bible is about routine, habit, a daily rhythm. And as I say, there are all kinds of resources, books, online, apps, things that help us with our daily reading and prayer. Some of these have been circulated through the Alpha classes this week. And if you want any more suggestions, just see me. I've got a PowerPoint with all suggestions for tools and ways of helping us dig deeper into the Bible. In fact, after this service as well, there'll be a few charts which have a few pictures of ideas and ways that we can open it up afresh. So we need to grow with it as an individual practice of just getting to grips with what God is saying. And also we need to grow with it as a way we learn and explore in groups. Imagine a church culture where it becomes second nature, as natural as the air we breathe, to get the Bible out. Imagine going around to dinner with friends, and then before you're getting your coats at the end of the evening, perhaps someone opens the Bible up for 5 minutes just to share something. We have an old family friend. He's really a friend of my parents. He lives way, way up north in the Outer Hebrides in Scotland. He's a retired doctor called John Hay. And you cannot stay long in his house without him getting the Bible out and offering it around, saying, "Would someone care to share this? What have you learned today? What have you learned this week that perhaps we can all learn from?" I love that. And it's a bit out there, isn't it? It's not really our daily experience at the present. But actually, shouldn't it be entirely natural, as the children of God, as God's daughters and sons, that we're eager to share in our Father's Word and see what he has to say? Over the coming weeks and month, we, the leadership at St. Mary's, are really keen to see more and more people using a simple tool called Discovery Bible Study. Now, I know for many of us, that's not a new thing. We've been doing this for a year or two. But Discovery Bible Studies are a really, really simple tool that we would love to see becoming part of the DNA of our body life as the family of God. Whether you're meeting in twos or threes or larger groups, we would love to see people simply getting into the habit of using this simple tool which allows God to speak through his Holy Spirit and bring the Bible to life. Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to open up Scripture, incredible things can begin to happen as we understand it, and even more importantly, as we apply it to our lives and the relationships and situations that we live in around us. If you're new to Discovery Bible Study, it couldn't be easier to explain. It goes like this. Pray. Pray that God will speak, that we will hear, that we will understand. Secondly, read it together. Close it. Read it again. Remind each other, what did you hear? Was there something new or different? What do you remember? Open it up, read it a third time. After that, ask four simple questions. What does this teach us about God? What does it teach us about people, maybe ourselves? How will you put this into practice? And who do you know that needs to hear this? Because God doesn't give us the Bible purely for our own growth and purely for our own edification. It is the Word of God, alive and active, which comes to life in our hearts and compels us into action in the world around us. So when you learn something out of your Bible study, who do you know who needs to hear this? And the beauty of DBS Discovery Bible Study is its simplicity. Pray, read again, ask yourself these four simple questions. The point is, all we need to do is make time, open it, and ask God to speak to us through it. The Word of God is alive and active, and God can bring it alive for us as we read it. I'm going to take a break now and watch a short video from a guy called Paul, who many of us know. He's one of our mission partners, working with his wife and family in Burundi. They're using Discovery Bible Study in wonderful ways, and I thought I'd show an interview which I did with him this week. There's a longer version which will be available. We'll email around through the rest of the week. But this is Paul.
So, Paul, welcome. It's really nice to see you this morning. And we know you very well, you and Alison, as mission partners of ours in Burundi. For those of you who may not know you, I wonder if you could first of all just explain, why are you in Burundi?
We're in Burundi to encourage the Burundian church to be doing mission work. Actually, it's a very Christian country, and the challenge is not so much that we need to reach them with the gospel. There are some amazing churches. We're trying to help those churches to realize you don't have to be white, you don't have to have all the Western paraphernalia in order to be a missionary.
And apparently you don't need to be dressed as a Westerner to be a missionary either.
Well, I'm having a bit of fun with you here, wearing a, it is an African costume. It was actually given to me by a pastor. But dress is a very powerful symbol of which group you belong to. Normally in Burundi, you wear European dress if you're a Christian. And if you're wearing this, then you're probably a Muslim. I like to challenge that and say, can you be a Christian if you're wearing something like this? And if I put this on, it's even clearer. It does confuse people, but it gets them thinking.
Great. Yeah, I like it. Now, as you know, this week in our Alpha Week and certainly on Sunday as well, we're reflecting on the power of the Bible to transform lives. So what are some of the challenges that you face in teaching people how to read the Bible?
The Bible is amazingly powerful when it's unleashed. As C.S. Lewis said, you just have to let it out of the cage. But that does make people a bit nervous, leaders of communities. Mm. The thing about DBS is that people can discover for themselves, and that's much less threatening.
So how does DBS, the Discovery Bible Study approach, which we've just been reflecting on in church, how does this help you in the context of Burundi?
We've got a little sketch that I use sometimes when I'm discussing with Christians, and on that you'll see two communities. I started off seeing DBS as a tool for reaching Muslims. You don't have to take an individual out of their community, change them, make them like a Christian, and bring them all the way over here, dress them in European garb, culturally, symbolically. The thing about DBS is that I could say to a Muslim, I could say, can we look at the scriptures together? Can we seek God and listen together to the scriptures? There are many scriptures that we respect that they also respect. So we can look at scriptures together. If I come in as though I'm preaching, then it's dangerous. I'm coming from my camp and it looks like I'm trying to drag them to my camp. But if we're looking at scripture together, discovering, that's different. I sometimes offer the challenge to skeptics in the church, people who are worried. And I say, do you think that the Holy Spirit can speak to someone who is not yet a Christian, someone who is dressed as a Muslim like me? Mm-hmm. We might say, yes, in theory, we believe it. But yeah. to let someone who is not yet baptized lead a Bible study, that's quite a big step for an African believer.
So you've already talked about some of the advantages and the benefits of using Discovery Bible Study, the way it works well in small groups, the way it's a simple and memorable approach, and also just the way that the Holy Spirit is able to work through this and bring scripture alive through the simplicity of the approach. And then in terms of some of the challenges, you began to talk there about how we may feel a little intimidated about the idea that it's not being led by a churchy person, a vicar or a Bible scholar. How do you help people? What sort of things do you say to encourage people it's okay to allow God to speak directly through scripture to you?
It's real. And that's what DBS is about. It's about those real things. how we control that creative thought, that, you know, the Holy Spirit, there are, Paul teaches about, you have to be careful. Someone says the Holy Spirit said this, and they might be shooting off on a limb. DBS has ways of doing things. The group itself is supposed to be able to challenge each other and say, where in this scripture do you get what you're saying there? Little things like that, where the group itself has to have confidence that they, as a group, can hear from the Holy Spirit. It's not a perfect way of doing things, but there's some amazing things happening in the Muslim world. The book Wind in the House of Islam tells just some of the stories that are out there.
Thank you. And there is a longer version of that interview, as I say, which will be emailed around the church family during the week. I urge you to watch that. Really interesting and important work that these, our mission partners, are doing in really interesting situations. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and actions of the human heart. And what an example of that. This simple approach, which actually dares to put the Bible into our hands, without the need for a minister, without the need for someone with a degree in theology, God trusts us to be open to his Spirit if we trust him to lead us into his living word. So it's that simple approach. Anyone could do it. And granted, some bits of the Bible are easier than others, but we need to challenge each other, ask for help when we don't know where we are. There's plenty of people in the church when we get stuck on a theological issue. There's other people around. It's fine to say, I don't know, and seek the wisdom of other people. But be brave, be bold, and allow the word of God to be open for yourself. Pure and simple, pray, read, discuss. Use those four questions, and you unleash that beast that Paul was talking about from his cage. So whether you're on your own or in groups, opening up the word of God needs to be second nature. Someone said to me this week in one of our alpha groups with great passion, how are we going to be the people of God if we don't engage with Almighty God's word? As I draw to a close, I finish with this one more story. It's more recent. This is in the 1990s. This couple are now older, but in this day, they were just two students, age 19, called Frog and Amy Orr Ewing. Try to get past the names. But Frog and Amy Orr Ewing, you can see them, they're leading figures in the church these days. But at the age of 19, two students, they felt compelled. They felt God was saying to them, go to Afghanistan. Not only go to Afghanistan, go there with Bibles, go to Kabul, not only go to Kabul with Bibles, but go and meet with the Taliban government in the 1990s. And being young 19-year-old people, they decided this is from God, they have to obey it. And so that's what they did. And long story short, they describe a series of what can only be described as miracles, including going through 12 armed military checkpoints in Afghanistan. And even being then invited to meet the very Taliban government they believed God wanted them to go and meet. So they walked in there with their rucksacks full of Pashtun Bibles in the native Afghan language and were interviewed for an hour. And they interviewed the Taliban and they talked about their faith. And then finally, as they left, one of them dared to open up the rucksack and pull out the scriptures and said, we know what this is. No, they said, and they said, they pulled out the Bible in Pashtun and they said, we believe this book is the most precious document that we have. And we would love it if you would try to read a copy. And the story's even more remarkable because, as you know, they lived to this present day. At that point, one of the Taliban government's leaders' eyes opened wide and he said in front of everyone, I know what this is. And we have been praying that someone would bring a copy of the Christian scriptures that we could study for ourselves. And the pair of them returned safely back to the UK with empty rucksacks. And talking about it recently, Amy Orr Ewing said this, we discovered that at the heart of the world's most fundamentalist Islamic regime, there was someone praying that God would send him a Bible. And God chose us to do that. Gospel proclamation can happen in impossible places. Friends, the Word of God is alive and active, We have it. It came to us at great cost. It continues to compel people to do extraordinary things. And we have it as a gift from God, not just for our own edification, but for his kingdom work. Long, long, long ago, there's a story way back in the Old Testament. God says to one of his great leaders, Joshua, he says, "Keep this book always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful in the land I give you." So people, come on, let's go. Let's commit ourselves afresh to God's living word. Amen. Lord, I love the rest of that reading, which we didn't really reflect on. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with us, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. You know our weaknesses, you know our distractions. Let us then approach your throne of grace with confidence. I pray that we don't feel condemned and guilty, but we just feel enthused and excited, refreshed and reinvigorated to return to your word. For it is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Thank you, Lord. Amen.